We get the hour underway this afternoon, though, by talking Patriots. And to do that, we get on board the telephone line and welcome in Ryan Hannibal of WEEI in Boston, the co-host of the Off Day podcast. Hello there, Ryan.
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
Going pretty well, thanks. But the big news is not the games right now, but COVID. Is there any new Patriots news on that front?
No, not positive today. So that's a good sign. They still have the three players on the COVID list. None really impact players. J.J. Taylor's been on there for a while, so that, you know, must be a serious bout with COVID. Then Dalton Keene, who's on IR, and then Yarcia Durant, backup offensive lineman. So they're definitely fortunate that they haven't had any star players or, you know, major key players go on the list. But, you know, you never know. In this day and age, obviously, the list continues to grow and grow. They're over 100 over the last 3-4 days. So definitely a big thing around the league, and the NFL announced this afternoon that they're, you know, changing their protocols. They're going back to basically the 2020, you know, inside the facility stuff where masks are mandatory, virtual meetings, no visitors on the roads. They're back to that. And they changed the return to play protocols, making it easier for players that tested positive to test out and come back. So it's definitely an evolving thing. And I'm sure, you know, Bill Belichick and the rest of the leaders on that team are preaching to the players to, you know, remain diligent and, you know, try to stay as safe as possible.
Well, it's been interesting to watch this run of success, the long winning streak for the team. And I feel like every week there's somebody out there in media who says, well, if they win this week, then we can say they're for real. I look around the rest of the AFC, and I would say they've been for real for about a month.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at the way that the rest of the conference is, you kind of have to say that. I mean, just the Titans and the Chiefs are probably the two other teams that are up there with the Patriots. But even if you do, you know, want to knock the Patriots down a peg for their win over the Bills because of the weather or their win over the Titans because of all the injuries, you still have to acknowledge that they're one of the better teams in the conference, and they're better than the Bengals. They're probably better than the Chargers. They're better than the Ravens. So even if you do, you know, look at things like that, you just have to acknowledge that the Patriots are a solid team, and they're doing everything that they have needed to do. They get help that they've faced teams, you know, with players down because of injury, and to be fair, like, they've taken full advantage. Like, they, you know, they've been winning convincingly. So give the Patriots credit. I have them up there as one of the three best teams in the conference, and we'll see how that all plays out down the stretch for who's the number one overall seed.
Well, I listened to the podcast, and Andy Hart had a theory. I thought Andy was overthinking this a little bit, that Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick is so angry at the disrespect that people are giving Mac Jones that he's going to come out and just throw the ball all night long on Saturday. My guess is that Bill Belichick will do what the defense allows him to do.
Yeah, and I think that I kind of brought that up too, that basically Bill Belichick, over the last, whatever, 7-game win streak, over that time, the identity of this team has been running the football and playing good defense, taking care of the ball. So why all of a sudden would you change what you do because you might be bothered by the disrespect to Mac Jones? That's just not who Bill Belichick is. And, well, I mean, if the Colts go up there and line up 10 guys in the box and force Mac Jones to throw, then yeah, of course they're going to throw. But I don't think they're going to go into the game saying, oh, we need to prove everybody wrong and have Mac Jones throw the ball 35, 40 times. That's just not who they are. So we'll see what happens Saturday night. If the Colts, you know, want Mac Jones to throw and crowd the box, then sure, they'll do it. But I don't think they're going to go in there with the game plan of trying to prove, you know, a narrative wrong. That's just not who they are.
No, and every team, of course, tries to make their opponent one-dimensional offensively, but sometimes that's easier said than done.
Yeah, and I kind of thought that those comments earlier in the week were a little bit overblown around here. I mean, Bill Belichick says it basically every single week, that they're going to try to take away the opponent's, you know, best player and eliminate him and force, you know, their opponent to, you know, beat them with their weakness. And it's just kind of common speak around the NFL. So yeah, it was a little bit, you know, I guess just the way that it was said kind of came out that it was disrespect towards Mac Jones and the Patriots, but I wouldn't say that was the case. I mean, a lot of teams around the league always say they want to make another team one dimensional. That's just kind of basic talk in the NFL, but Bill Belichick and the Patriots are always good at finding, you know, ways to motivate their team through the media and maybe through some things that their opponent says. So who knows? Maybe Bill blew that quote out of proportion, and maybe Mac Jones will take full advantage of it.
Yeah, although he didn't seem to be fazed by it either, at least when he spoke with the media. He seemed to take it in stride, like he's taken everything in stride this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, that wasn't a real surprise for Mac not to, you know, acknowledge the comments by anything. I mean, heck, the guy can't even acknowledge that he has a favorite Christmas movie or a Christmas song. But that's just Mac Jones and who he is this year, and maybe who he is for the bulk of his career. He's basically all about football. He's very serious, takes his job seriously, and he hasn't, you know, read it into anything in the media or anything his opponent says. He just basically focuses on everything that he can focus on, and that's all he cares about. And it's hard to knock, you know, what he's done so far this year, because it's clearly worked. He's, you know, in line to be the offensive rookie of the year, and, you know, playing at a high level and leading the Patriots to right now first place in the AFC.
Is there any concern at all about that left thumb?
No, and he kind of made clear of that yesterday with, you know, doing the thumbs up with both thumbs. It was interesting on how, you know, it all came out with the not being on the first injury report, then, you know, an addition, and then changing the addition to make sure that he was a full participant, not a limited participant. But he's off of it today. He's good to go for the game. And so I think it was more of just them making sure that they, you know, did everything properly, and that because maybe he got taped up on the thumb, that they put it on the injury report just to protect themselves in case the league looked into something later on.
We're talking with Ryan Hannibal of WEEI here on Downtown. Teams handle the bye week differently, but did this one come at a good point in the season for the Patriots?
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, every team's going to say that it came at a good time when it comes, but it comes with four games left in the regular season. It kind of gives the Patriots a chance to reset and get, you know, as back to as close as you can to full health this late in the season, and obviously the most important games are ahead of them. So instead of some of these other teams that are, you know, now playing for, you know, 8, 9, 10 straight weeks, the Patriots are coming off of a bye and get their bodies fresh, and we'll see how that plays out over these course of the next 4 weeks plus the playoffs, and who knows, maybe they get another bye in the first week of the playoffs with the number one seed, and I think that goes a long way this time of year, is making sure that you're, you know, as rested as you possibly can be.
Now, this Colts team has been playing very good football, 7 wins in their last 10 games. As Bill Belichick has said, very good balance in their offense and their defense. What's the key for the Patriots' defense to hold them down a little bit, because they've been scoring an awful lot of points?
Yeah, it definitely starts with Jonathan Taylor. He could basically turn, you know, a 10-yard run into a 60-yard run just because of his speed and his ability to break free. And their offensive line is one of the better lines in football. So I think when you're looking at the Patriots defense, they're definitely going to make sure that they, you know, don't allow any big plays to Jonathan Taylor that could change the game, and basically try to stop them on first and second down and force them into third and long, because for as good as Carson Wentz has been this year statistically, I feel like the Patriots defense can force a turnover or two from him. He's only thrown 5 picks on the year, but it seems like every time you watch the Colts play, he's, you know, this close to having more turnovers. So I think that's a big part of the game, is trying to force the Colts into third and long and make Carson Wentz beat them with his arm.
Well, yeah, and I feel, you know, for all the talk about, well, Mac Jones has got to beat us, I think if the Patriots' approach is Carson Wentz has to beat us through the air, I like their chances in that one better.
Yeah, I do too. I just, the Mac Jones is basically, his strength this year has been taking care of the football and not making mistakes. And I think it's going to come down to this game is who turns the ball over the most. That team's going to lose. And I know that's kind of how the NFL works every single week, but especially in this one, when both teams are so good at taking care of the football and forcing turnovers from their opponents, I would say whoever wins the turnover battle has a very good chance of winning this week. And based on what we've seen so far this year, especially of late, I like their chances with Mac Jones.
It is so tight in both conferences, but particularly in the AFC. At this point, with a handful of games left, who is the best team in the conference?
I go back to Kansas City. I know that they've struggled this year. They're not the same, but their defense is starting to come together, and their offense still has Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, who can score 40 points, you know, on any given week. And yes, they have been the same, but I just think that they can find a way to click at the right time. They kind of remind me of the past Patriots teams in the past, where we've always said, oh, they play their best football, you know, after Thanksgiving. Maybe that's the Chiefs this year. And then I think Tennessee is certainly a team to watch too, just because of they're starting to get some guys back healthy. And if they do get Derrick Henry back for the playoffs, even if it's 85%, I think they're the best team in the conference, just the way that they're built. They have a strong running game. They're led by their head. They embody their head coach and Mike Vrabel. They're a tough team, so I wouldn't want to play either of those two teams down the stretch. And obviously, the Patriots are right there too. But those are the three teams to me that stand out.
Obviously, it's been a terrific coaching job by Bill Belichick and the staff this year. But I would say, is this also maybe the best performance from Bill Belichick, the general manager?
Oh, no question about it. You have to give him a lot of credit for putting all these guys together. I think that's an underrated part, is how well these guys have fit together. There's no, especially off the field in the locker room, they have great chemistry, and there's just no way to predict that when you're signing players that, you know that they can mesh with those other guys along with the guys that are already on the team. So just the way that he was able to, find Hunter Henry, Matthew Judon, who's been a great guy in the locker room, to get those guys on top of producing on the field, it has been great and definitely an underrated thing. And that's not even mentioning the draft, when you're getting Mac Jones, obviously, but then great value with Christian Barmore in the second round, Ramondre Stevenson in the fourth round. So it was really a great offseason for Bill, and I think he needed it based on what happened, the 2, 3, 4 years prior.
Ryan Hannibal, WEEI. Check out his work at WEEI.com. And, of course, subscribe to the Off Day podcast and listen to Ryan school Andy Hart on a regular basis. Ryan, we appreciate it. Appreciate it as always. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk with you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Have a good one.
Ryan Hannibal with us here on Dan Tap.